Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is an opportunity to have in-depth conversations on topics that really are necessary to empower you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your hormones, overall well-being. So thank you for joining me for another fantastic hour where I hope your horizons will be expanded even more than they were in the past. And for those of you who are joining the show for the first time, I'd like to invite you to go up to my website, What Women Must Know, which is dedicated to providing you with some fantastic information freely available. If you opt into my website, then you will get several of my special reports. And on the website, I have numerous published articles and videos. Lots of great resources to support you in really understanding what it takes to get your hormones back on track and, of course, your health back on track. And my Facebook page, which also is What Women Must Know, is another great source because I post every day with fantastic information that I am sharing with you. So that's the name of the game, get empowered with truthful information. I also want to say, for those of you who are in the New York metropolitan area, I will be returning to the Big Apple. I venture into the city twice a year. I live in Oklahoma, but I grew up there in New Jersey. So even though I'm a Jersey girl, I consider myself kind of New Yorkish. So I'm returning home. And on Saturday, May 11th, at the Natural Gourmet School, I will be doing a fantastic afternoon class. It's from 2 to 5. It's called, Getting Your Hormones Back on Track, but I know it's covering all those topics for sure. So we're going to be addressing all the root causes behind hormonal imbalances, strategies for addressing them, practical solutions. It's quite an enlightening experience and something really necessary for every woman of all ages, and I love to see the young girls come to the class, and we just have a great time, and it is really an eye-opener, and certainly designed to help women, again, of all ages, to really get on track with their hormones, finding the solutions that will really restore balance and harmony to your life. So that's May 11th, Saturday afternoon, from 2 to 5 at the Natural Gourmet School. You need to book in advance. So give them a call, schedule your place in the class, and come and join me. And besides, it's always great to be meeting people in person. So I hope many of you will be showing up. Great chance to say hello. And a very, very transforming time. So that's May 11th, Natural Gourmet School, right there in Manhattan. Okay, now, if you've been a long-time listener to my show, you know that I have a certain preference for Chinese medicine. It's been an area of great interest. I incorporate many of the models and some of the understandings, teachings, sometimes products that are part of a traditional Chinese medical worldview. I find it to be extremely profound and really addressing issues in a way that Western medicine, Even Western naturopathic medicine, doesn't always really understand. So it is my great pleasure today to have a very wonderful and in-depth conversation with one of the leading figures in traditional Chinese medicine and herbalism. And first of all, just let me introduce you. He's a wonderful man, very dedicated. I'm really impressed with him, so it's great to have him on the show. And I'm talking about Ron Teagarden, who has been a professional practitioner and teacher of the holistic Asian health arts since the 1970s and is widely recognized as one of the foremost herbalists in America. Ron has been a powerful translator of Eastern philosophy and healthcare technique to thousands, tens of thousands actually, of Americans for nearly four decades. He is recognized as the premier spokesperson for Chinese tonic herbalism in America, having spent decades teaching the concept that it is better to promote our health and well-being than to become sick and have to take remedial measures. Ron has written two major books on Chinese tonic herbalism. His first book, Chinese Tonic Herbs, published in 1984, is recognized as the book that introduced the art of tonic herbalism to the American public. The book has become a classic and remains the best-selling book on Chinese tonic herbalism today in America. His other book, The Ancient Wisdom of the Chinese Tonic Herbs, is recognized as a major book on the subject of Chinese longevity herbalism, topic dear to my heart. Ron has been featured in articles in Time Magazine, USA Today, the Los Angeles Times, and the New York Times, and many other newspapers and magazines, and in numerous news stories on television, including on NBC, HBO, and CNN. He is the co-founder with his wife, Yan Lin, of Dragon Herbs, which offers the largest and most extraordinary range of tonic formulations in the world. Ron is incredibly dedicated to finding the best tonic herbs and superfoods available anywhere on earth and has proven to have a knack for finding miraculous herbs. His most recent book, 30 Tips for Living a Long and Happy Life, is now available, and you can get more information about Ron and his writings on ronsblogworld.com or visit his website, dragonherbs.com. So with that introduction, I'm sure you are all really keen to listen to what Ron will be sharing with us today. So, Ron, thank you so much. I know you are an incredibly busy man, and I am so grateful that you've given us an hour of your time today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you. I'm here to serve you, really.
It's great. You can tell I'm really excited to have you on the show. I recently, for my listeners, I recently met Ron at the Natural Products Expo in Anaheim, where I go every year. And I was just hanging around his booth for quite a while, drinking his tonics. It was quite an experience. And I was just thrilled to be able to invite him to be on the show because I invited Ron to discuss some of the topics that I find just so important for women. And we're going to be talking about a range of things, understanding the traditional Chinese model for hormonal balance, how to rejuvenate the body, what we're going to be talking about infertility issues, we're going to be talking about libido, reproductive health. One of the problems that I see so often in my practice is the aging process happening in women. We tend to kind of dry up, and shows up as dry hair, dry skin, dry mucosal membranes, dry vaginal tissue, and there are solutions for all these things. Right, Ron?
Yes, definitely.
So we're going to jump in, and I think, why don't we just kind of give your overview on women's health and traditional Chinese model?
Chinese medicine, the whole Chinese healthcare system is very ancient, and it goes back at least 3,000 years. And the beauty of it is that it has been continuous, and they've documented information for so long by so many amazing great minds. And really, most of the stuff that has come along to us now has been tested millions of times. So like you expressed in your introduction, Chinese medicine is so unfathomably amazing because the more years you're into it, the more you realize how did they figure this out and discover this these things. And to a large degree, it's based on the fact that so many people. The system was so profound from the beginning, and all the pieces could fit into it, so people could really work with a great system. So the system itself developed, and basically, my part of the system, what I have spent my life working on is largely been on what we call the tonic herbs. In Chinese herbalism, there's three levels of herbalism. The first level is called the inferior herbalism. Then there's the general herbalism. Then there's the superior herbalism. And not that calling it inferior doesn't mean that it's bad. It just meant the superior herbalism were the herbs and the practices associated with fixing things after they've occurred. It's the medicinal side, like somebody's waited until they're completely out of balance and sick, and then they have to go to the doctor and take certain kind of medicinal herbs. And the medicinal herbs tend to be harsher, more risky. You can take them only for a short period of time and so forth. So those are remedial. And so they were called inferior based on the system of waiting until it was kind of late. The general herbs was preventative medicine. That's what the herb you take to just kind of, you know what your issues are. You can take certain things to prevent certain things from happening. Say a woman knows that she's going to have a rough menstrual cycle every month. There would be herbs in Chinese herbalism that one could take specifically to prevent those things from happening, or to nip them in the bud and to improve them specifically, that aren't really medicinal, more preventative. Thirdly, there's the tonic herbs, or what they are called the superior herbs, and this is the whole system that focuses on taking certain herbal products as a program or a routine or a formula on a regular basis. And these herbs promote longevity, and they're anti-aging. They slow down the processes of drying out, as you've mentioned, or the immune system falling apart and so on. So they help people to stay well for a very long period of time, age much more beautifully, without degenerating. So in Chinese practice, in reality, there are people who focus more on the tonic herbs, and then there are doctors who focus more on what's happened after a problem has occurred. And my specialty, as you know, is in promoting longevity and anti-aging and having things not happen. So that's the tonic herbal side. So that's kind of where we start from. So everything I'm going to talk about primarily is about not so much how to fix problems, not that problems don't get better. When you start taking the tonic herbs, I think it's the quick path to getting well, because you're actually making your body work properly and helping it to reestablish balance. Yeah.
You know, this is why I think this great ancient model is so profound, because the older we get in our culture, in our society, there is nothing that we are taught culturally to support the aging process. Mm-hmm. So we can enhance systems that through the aging process will naturally get more compromised. But with the introduction of herbs and right eating and right exercise and right thinking, we actually can support this rejuvenation process, which the Chinese model really supports. So we just get put on more medications. I know the average senior is, what, on 8 medications? So that's supposed to be a rejuvenation program? Kind of crazy, right?
Well, I don't know if those are considered rejuvenation programs or just keeping you alive.
Rejuvenation. Yeah. You're right, you know, but that's how it gets interpreted here.
Right.
It's like,
I think in our generation, in the last, maybe 1960s or 70s, and certainly in the last couple of decades, there's been such a paradigm shift in the United States of, you know, with the natural food stores exploding. You know, there used to be little teeny health food stores here and there, and now there's, now almost all of us know that there are mega stores, and you can get anything you want to. And these are oriented largely toward healthful living, you know, not so much medicinal. Like people go into a great natural food store and you're going to find all kinds of things that are healthy and help your skin to stay. But how do you use them? You know, what's the problem still in America is that the system hasn't really been developed to understand what things do. Like in the Orient, if you go into the market, people actually know that, you know, cherries are hot and, you know, peaches are cool or something like that. So they have an effect. They think of the foods that one eats and the exercises one has, the things we live in our lifestyle as functional. Actually, the concept is life cultivation. I hope that by the end of this hour, people sort of have this knowledge that our life is like a garden, and we cultivate our own body. Every day we need to, if it's just like a garden, you have to water it, you have to fertilize it, you have to feed it, you have to turn it, you have to let it rest, all those kind of things. And the same in our own body, we can cultivate our health. So actually, literally, that term, life cultivation, is the term used in the Orient for promoting what they called radiant health. Now, radiant health itself had a definition which was health beyond danger. And though that sounds impossible, in fact, we can certainly improve our chances of avoiding or succumbing to the dangers of life if we eat well, take tonic herbs, which are really kind of superfoods that that we can take in a supplementary fashion that promote the functions of our body so that they're very strong, very much in balance, not hyper, not hypo, but they can also adjust to the changes in the environment. And if that happens, then we're going to overcome challenges that occur to us. Say you live in a dry environment, the body will dry out. But if you're taking the right herbs, it can maintain a balance so you don't dry out. And therefore, you don't degenerate early, and you live longer, and you live better, and we don't develop the diseases associated with middle age and late age. So basically, the paradigm, though, is growing in the United States. Shows like yours and people like you out there teaching this and the enthusiasm at this point, I think it's growing exponentially. It's pretty amazing.
Well, it's time, because we are in need of real rejuvenation strategies and paradigm shifts. You know, you said something really interesting and that probably most people haven't thought of, so I'll just kind of go back to that for a little bit.
Sure.
And that's the environment we are in, such as a desert or a dry climate or a moist climate, actually is impacting how our body is functioning. And this is certainly a profound part of traditional Chinese medicine, that mm-hmm. you need to take into account the seasons and the climate to bring greater balance and harmony, compensate, in a sense, for what you, as part of that environment, is how it's being affected.
Well, I live in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is a semi-desert. It's certainly not humid, and because of that, so many people, their hair becomes dry, their skin is dry, their internal organs, of course, are going to be dry as well. And this is just an example. And so therefore, it's practical if you know that there are certain things you can consume that moisturize the body. Not so much that they're, of course, you can just take water and hydrate, but if your body can't hold the water and maintain the actual types of moisture that the body requires, including things like hyaluronic acid, things that actually keep the body lubricated, then we tend to dry up. And, I so often notice that when I go to the Far East or even to the East Coast of the United States where it's humid, you see people's skin, and it can be very moist and very beautiful, because the air itself helps to maintain that moisture. Then you get to California, the same people, they have the alligator skin, it cracks up. And, of course, people put moisturizers on from the outside, but that's not really – that's important. I think it's definitely useful if they're healthy types of things. But, that's only skin deep. It's a millimeter or two deep. The rest of our body is also drying out. And so there's herbs, like in Chinese, there's an orchid. It's called dendrobium. People grow it in their, people have it in their houses sometimes. But that actually is an amazingly important herb in Chinese herbalism, because when you consume supplements of it or tea using it, then that helps the body retain the fluids inside without becoming damp, without actually becoming like stagnant water or any kind of those problems. But it actually just makes your skin moist, all the tissues of the body maintain their moisture. And that's incredibly important for our health and also for our beauty and how we age, because aging is a little hard to reverse. So what you really want to do is maintain your youthful, soft, supple skin as much as you can, and therefore, it's easier to, like Benjamin Franklin said, a stitch in time is worth 9, you know. So dendrobium is an example of an herb that maintains that fluid. Then there, we could do the opposite. In very damp places, there are herbs that, you know, keep you drier. But so Chinese herbalism thinks a lot about, as a matter of fact, you need to think about your environment, whether it's hot, then you would take cool things. If it's cold, you take hot things. We just kind of, if it's hot, people drink a beer or Coca-Cola because it's icy, you know, and that's not really, it's an instantaneous sensation of coolness, but it's not actually cooling the body down necessarily. Yeah.
In fact, it could be overheating the body by taking a lot of those sugars.
Exactly. And it's actually, of course, because it's not actually thought through in any level other than the fact that you just feel it cold in your mouth, refreshing, you know. But there are herbs that are cooling. They're just cooling on your body. You take them and you feel cooler. The famous herb gynostemma that's in our spring dragon tea has a cooling, kind of anti-inflammatory but anti-heat activity. And then there are other herbs. People would know cinnamon, for example, really good cinnamon. If you take it consistently, your body stays warm, and actually warm in cold weather, so you feel much more comfortable. So you would change with the seasons or maybe where you live. So it's a little bit adaptable, and everybody, sort of the fun of herbalism is learning, you know, you get into it, you start studying it, you take these things, and you can really feel them very quickly. And you have, people who have never experienced herbs before, we're natural beings. We've evolved for, you know, hundreds of millions of years. And once you start using your instincts, it's shocking how fast people learn how the herbs are actually affecting their body and their mind.
Well, I have to say I'm so impressed with herbs in my practice. Because I really like to focus on natural hormone rebalancing.
Right.
I'm not actually a big fan of bioidentical hormones even, and obviously not the pill.
Right.
I've written a lot about those things and the consequences. And, you know, if we had nothing else, we might just have to, you know, go down that path. But the fact of the matter is we do have very effective options that actually will enhance and support the functioning and the hormone, the resurrection, or the, not the right word, but the nourishing of these inner essences, these hormonal essences.
Right.
Can you address that, Ron? Can you talk a bit about that concept so people can understand the options that are available and a bit more about how our body works?
Sure. As long as you promise to sometime tell us your wisdom as well, because I know you know, because you're doing this every day. People should definitely listen to what you know. As far as I don't know much about what Western medicine does anymore. I don't follow it that carefully because, you know, I've really focused with the Chinese herbs and with the tonic herbs in particular. I have worked with really literally thousands of women and clinically and then, you know, in different ways. And you find that if a woman focuses on regaining her balance hormonally using certain herbs, that balance can be restored almost amazingly quickly, several cycles. You see a significant shift. And there's the principle of yin and yang in Chinese herbalism. And yin and yang is, I could make it fairly simple, is that yin things tend to make the body supple and moist, and those are off. Most of our hormones tend to be yin, and especially female hormones are yin. So that's why the word yin is often associated with women and or female. And the yang herbs are more active, assertive, and perhaps the yang hormones like testosterone would be more yang. And so there's a balance of hormones in the body. Women have female hormones, estrogenic types of things, and they also have some amount of yang hormones, testosterone, and that affects libido and so forth. And so you don't want to have too much of a balance of either. There's a proper balance. And they say, obviously, women are going to be ruled more by their female hormones and the yin aspect. And so women tend to take more what we call yin herbs. But some yang herbs are valuable because women also need energy and assertiveness, and it enhances the libido side of sexual functioning. So there's that balance. So there are famous herbs in Chinese herbalism like Dongui, sometimes pronounced Dongquai. The current language is Dongui. And Dongui is an herb that really most women should consume, whether they're young or elderly. Dongui has a regulating effect on female hormones. It's a famous herb. It's the woman's herb of China. It's perhaps the most important. It's not the only herb that's used. We use many things, and often Dongui is combined with other herbs. For example, and this gets a little wordy, so I'm going to be careful, but there's a word called bupleurum, and it's a pretty long word, but bupleurum is a formula, or there are several formulas that combine bupleurum with Dongui and maybe an herb called peony. It's like the peony flower. And these herbs, when they're combined, if you take them consistently, amazingly, without trying to fix the hormones, whether they're excessive or deficient, they're hyper, you know, in some kind of way out of balance, by taking a formula of those herbs that are regulatory, then after several cycles, miraculous things can happen. Women's cycles start to become the correct length. Not excessive, not deficient. I've seen, you know, countless hundreds of women who don't have their period. They start taking these kind of formulas. Like there's a famous formula called bupleurum and Dongui, or there's another one called bupleurum and peony. Either one, if you take it, your periods will just stabilize. They'll regulate. There'll be a change. And these formulas are, you probably know these formulas. They're very, very famous in Chinese herbalism. And then it just depends on the quality of the product you take. Like there's different grades of herbs. So some companies sell much higher grade, you know, formulations than others. That is always important when you're using herbs, to know that just because something says it has Dongui doesn't mean it's the best or the worst. You sort of have to know your source. But the bupleurum and peony is probably one of my favorite formulas in the whole world because it's so balancing that every woman can take it. They don't have to take it forever either. If a woman takes it for several months or a year, like consistently, that's a rejuvenation. It restores the balance in the system. I'll mention that one just, you know, forever because it's a great formula and a great combination of herbs.
You know, when we talk about tonic herbs, I always think of it as food for these organ systems. You're mm-hmm. actually feeding these key systems in your body so right. they are well nourished and can function, right? So,
right.
Which, again, is a different concept from allopathic medicine. We don't think of nourishing and feeding. We think of maybe eating good foods, but not working with herbs to help these essences to be replenished.
Yeah, the problem is Western medicine, Western medical philosophy tends to, you know, narrow things down to, like, what vitamin you got and one particular constituent within something that's drug-like. You know, it's not really like that. Like, there's a saying in Chinese medicine and philosophy that men are governed by qi and women are governed by blood. And qi is our life force, you know, the life energy that flows through our body and gives us the energy to breathe and to live. And we all have blood. And that doesn't mean that men don't need blood and that women don't need qi, but there's just kind of a dominance of what's important. So men and women are different from that point of view because women bleed. They lose blood. You guys are a different thing than men. We don't bleed. And losing that blood, you have to rebuild the blood every month. And so blood tonics are critical to a woman's health. A woman must eat thinking, I've got to rebuild blood. After a woman has her period, in China and in many places in the world, women specifically eat blood-building foods, and usually combined with blood-building herbs, because the herbs are very powerful, for at least several days after your period's over, because you're a pint short. You've lost blood. And so basically, women can get to the point where they're slightly anemic all the time because they don't build blood again after the period is over. So they're always a little blood deficient. And when you're blood deficient, your body becomes dry. That's one of those you mentioned how women become drier as they age. That is a direct, specific response to not having enough blood over a long period of time. It might be just a little less blood, but that little small amount less blood isn't nurturing your skin, isn't nurturing the vagina, isn't nurturing the sinuses and every place else in the lungs, and dryness occurs. So once again, that herb, herb dongui or the herb peony root, there's other famous herbs, hoshouwu, the great, awesome goji berry, which a lot of people know about. These herbs are blood tonics. That's part of why they're so famous. You take them and they build up your blood, maybe in a gentle way and in a moderate way so that it doesn't overproduce or anything. But blood is essential to women. So if there's anything that women should walk away from this hour talk is think about building your blood. It's I'd say I could easily estimate that 95% of American women are slightly anemic.
Well, this is great. We're going to be talking more about how to build blood, some of the foods, when we come back from our break. So we are about to take a quick station break. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and don't go away. More fantastic information to come. Everyone, welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we are having the most fascinating conversation with Ron Teagarden. He actually is the author of several books. His most recent book is called 30 Tips for Living a Long and Happy Life. And he is one of the premier Chinese herbalists and educators on traditional Chinese medicine in the United States, if not the world. So it's been a fascinating conversation. And Ron, we've been talking about women and the need to build blood. What are some of the foods that women can utilize and incorporate in their diet that helps them to build blood?
Well, you know, first and foremost, there's no question that green vegetables are the blood-building factor in nature. I think most people know, but I'll just reiterate, is that chlorophyll and hemoglobin are almost identical. And so the chlorophyll that we eat from consuming greens turns into blood. So I'm not 100% sure that salads are always sufficient because you have to chew very, very well to break down all of the cellulose to get all the chlorophyll out. So I'm a pretty strong believer that Yes, I probably eat a salad every day, and so does everybody I know. But you want to make sure you get enough chlorophyll, like a really, some kinds of green. Just make sure you have greens in your diet because that's fundamental. And then, herbs like, vegetables, the root vegetables and beets, everything that those type of things. The root vegetables in particular, along with greens, will build your blood. They strengthen the blood. As an herbalist, there are several things you can do that just magnify it dramatically. One of them, as I mentioned, is goji berries. They're a red fruit, and when you consume them, they just produce blood. Your blood count will improve. And that's consuming the equivalent of 1 ounce a day. That's a little the palm of your hand. And if you get really good goji berries, they're a true pleasure. If you don't, then you, if you don't get really good ones, then it's a little bit rougher to go down. But there's really great ones available. And yeah, so I think that adding goji, and if you feel like you're really pale and dry, and let your if your period isn't very significant, or if you feel weak all the time, these are definite signs of blood deficiency, maybe anemia, you know, but I don't want to throw it out as a medical concept. It's really that most women just don't have enough blood. So in that case, you taking a Chinese, one of the tonic herbs are really kind of superfoods that are made from roots and barks that really don't go so well into the diet itself. So people have to cook them up as soups or teas or take them as extracts. And but they're very, very safe, like taking a formula. We have a formula called Magu's Secret based on Dongui and the goji berries and several herbs like that that build your blood. You take them and your blood just becomes strong again. And it's old-fashioned basic tonic herbalism, but it definitely is time-proven and makes a difference in your life.
So, speaking of building blood, what would be some of your advice for people who are following a vegan or vegetarian diet? Because that choice can contribute to some blood deficiencies.
That's correct. It can. You know, people who are in vegan, and certainly that is a growing and fantastic movement. But once again, you have to make sure you're getting all of the nutrients you can, and that's based on either chewing very, very well. That's one thing. I think that people don't understand that that consuming vegetables, you have to be able to assimilate them and digest the nutrients that are in there. And humans don't digest the cellulose that's in cell walls hardly at all. That passes through. So if you don't chew your food, the food will go through. And you'll become anemic. It won't become digested. So I think that people have to sit there and chew slower and make sure you're crushing every cell you possibly can. Like Gandhi said, he said, drink your food and eat your fluids, you know, like chew your fluids. Make sure everything is chewed and you know, so you can really assimilate it. Also, using a blender for vegan people, obviously it's part of most vegan people's lives is a good blender, but that does crack the cells of the food they consume. So if you use a blender and you're really getting green food and you mix it with a lot of root vegetables and a lot of green leafy vegetables, especially, well, darker green leafy vegetables, then you're going to get a lot of the basic resources. But once again, whether your body really makes that into blood or not, it doesn't seem like it's enough for some people, for a lot of women. And that's where I can't help saying this, but I think the basic blood-building tonic herbs should be a food requirement. It's part of your diet. It's not extra. It's just part of it, because when you take Dongui, it helps the body make blood. And when you take Hoshou Wu and goji berries, these products, they're not the blood-building nutrients. They have chemicals that take the greens, the chlorophyll, and convert them into blood. So that's just part of your diet, as far as I'm concerned. And now, as far as vegans go, there are a couple of things that there's an herb called hydrilla, which has vitamin B12 and all kinds of other things in it. That hydrilla is a fairly rare superfood, H-Y-D-R-I-L-L-A, hydrilla. And it's the perfect food for vegans. It's it contains all kinds of things that they're missing to build blood. So I particularly give that to everybody. You know, that all the people who are vegan, I recommend it to them very strongly as part of a superfood.
Yeah, Ron, this is such critical information, because I see a lot of women with hormonal imbalances who are vegans, but they're, like you said, there's missing. Even if you chew really well, you may not have a strong digestive system enough of the digestive enzymes to really absorb them. So it can be a problem. And using the herbs is a very wonderful solution to supporting people who are choosing to go on a more vegan, vegetarian diet.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that chewing, being vegan is probably would save the world. You know, I mean, if we actually didn't have to feed and you know, give the water we have and everything to cattle. But, and so I hope that that happens. I mean, that's like saying I hope that we don't have to use gas cars forever too. But, and people do very well, and they become, it's certainly a spiritually elevating practice to become vegan, and cleansing in so many ways. But it's more cleansing than it is tonic in the beginning. Some people can't do it for long enough to get to the place where they're actually getting healthy, because they're not assimilating the food, like you said. So once again, there are enzymes we can take. There are tonicer fermented foods. You know, we recommend, I know that this isn't this what everybody in the world is going to do, but, you know, like using things like kimchi, which is a fermented food, this really aids in the buildup of probiotics in your colon. And therefore, those probiotics do the assimilating. They actually break down then the foods you eat as a vegan and assimilate them into the body. And I think that the weak probiotic microbial condition of a lot of people is part of why vegans can't make blood, because when they were kids, they took antibiotics. You know, maybe they went and got a tooth extraction and had to take antibiotics for 10 days. Then that killed off half the good microbes in their gut, and they don't grow back. And so you do need to grow that. And I think everybody knows, and people do take probiotics, but I don't know if everybody takes good enough probiotics. I mean, taking one or two strains isn't the point. The human gut has 400, but unhealthy people don't have that. And they, as a matter of fact, they can get pretty far out of balance, can become overrun with kind of unhealthy microbes like candida or other things like that, and therefore the assimilation becomes poor, and the vegan diet isn't helping because we're not assimilating. So one of the fundamental things you do at the beginning is condition your digestive tract right from the beginning, from your mouth to your anus. Every inch of that has to be made healthy so you can absorb the good nutrients you're getting when you eat a good meal. I still don't know if I think that the blenders are kind of miraculous because they do crack the cell and you can get stuff out of it. But I don't know if everybody does that yet.
And this is why in the Chinese dietary therapy, their foods are, I guess, just all the, most of them are cooked.
Yeah, I cook. I admit, I'm not raw. Although I eat probably more than half my diet. I eat raw because I want to do that. And I just sit there and I chew it very well. But I also, you know, cook. Here's a secret to the art of cooking. And I know that there are people out there who are going, oh, my God, Ron cooks, but oh, well. But my background was macrobiotic and Oriental. And the trick to cooking is to cook something just until it turns into a bright color. And when it turns into a bright color, that means that the stuff inside, you can see it, because that means that the fiber on the outside, the indigestible fiber, just melted, and then what's inside hasn't been destroyed because you haven't changed the color. And at that point, you pull it off the stove, and that's when you eat it. And at that point, you can digest that food very, very well. And so there's a lot of food you can't digest unless you cook it. There's a lot of concept like miso soup. You don't want to boil it. You don't want to kill the bacteria in it, but eating cold miso soup is not going to really improve your condition too much. Most people won't do that. And but eating a slightly warm miso soup where you just kind of warmed up the vegetables and you got them to that bright color, that can have a miraculous blood-building, energy-building, and essence-building benefit to the body. It's so quickly that it would stagger a lot of people. And I'd like to talk about essence for a second. You talked about it before, the gin.
Let's talk about essence, yes.
There's a basic, of absolutely fundamental, it's the most fundamental concept in Chinese medicine, that the human body is made up of three primordial types of energy. and they're called Jing, Qi, and Shen. And we've mentioned Qi a little bit here. Qi is your vitality, your energy. We get Qi through our food and also through our breathing. So those are the two sources of Qi that humans have, and that gives us our day-to-day energy, and we need to consistently eat and breathe to get Qi. But there's a more fundamental energy called Jing, J-I-N-G, and Jing is the greatest secret of the Orient. It's the greatest secret that's perhaps ever known by humans as far as maintaining your health, longevity, and well-being. Jing is the primal energy that we're born with, that we inherit. It's our seed stock from our parents and their parents and so forth that's coming through genetically and running through us, and we will then provide Jing to our children and their children as we give birth. And so Jing is the battery that the body runs on. Jing is your power. Now, the amount of Jing we have determines how long we're going to live and the power of our life. And that's wonderful. If you're born with a lot of Jing, then you can live a long life. Even if you're born with little Jing, you can increase the Jing within your life by what you consume. But we use up the Jing on a day-to-day basis just by living, but also stress, burning the candle at both ends, excessive behaviors like using drugs or drinking or and when I say drugs, I don't necessarily mean only illicit drugs, but even the drugs that we take pharmaceutically have those side effects that drain the body of Jing. And so any kind of excessive behavior burns up Jing and shortens our life. So, and then last but not least, we have an energy called Shen, which is our spiritual and psychic power, the psychic energy. And that's what we're living for. I mean, we're all living to become evolved and wise and happy and experience a great life on Earth. And so that ultimately becomes the most important thing for most people. So those are the three treasures, Jing, Qi, and Shen. And the analogy that makes it simple is that our life is like a candle. So where the wax and the wick, the physical part, that's the Jing. That's what determines how long you're going to be, if you have a big candle or a little candle. Then the Qi is the fire, the flame itself, the light given off, the burning of the Jing. And then the light given off, that's our Shen. And that's how we live our life. And so we can replenish Jing, Qi, and Shen. You can really replenish Jing, even if we're living a stressful, challenging life, whether it's amazingly great or amazingly challenged, we're still using up Jing. So there are Jing tonics, once again, in these basic tonic formulas that restore this basic energy, and they keep you young. It keeps you youthful. It keeps your hormones in balance. You don't lose the power behind the hormonal system. You know, like when a woman goes through a lot of stress, then suddenly her periods become chaotic, or they stop, or because of the stress, women put stress into their pelvic basin, and that stress causes blood vessels to contract. Those blood vessels contract, cause stagnation of the blood. The blood clots. All kinds of problems occur as a result of that. I mean, you can list all the female disorders. They're all connected in some ways to the stress or to some kind of challenge that women place in their pelvic basin. And and then this drains your Jing, and it makes it so the blood function that a woman needs doesn't work well. And then women become unhappy. It's just when those other things are not functioning, you get emotionally imbalanced. You get highs and lows and maybe chronic addiction to fear and worry and those kind of things. And it's all rooted in just simply you reestablish Jing. That gives you a power. It's like recharging your battery. Like you can take a good Jing tonic. Like we have one called Return to Youth or Hair and Nails or Magu's Treasure. And when you take those, it's like plugging yourself into the wall, recharging your battery. And then all kinds of things fall into alignment. That's why I love tonic herbs. Tonic herbs is like you're building your health from the bottom up, and you don't have to know every detail of what you're doing. They just help you to reestablish balance fundamentally. And anyway, I did want to make sure everybody sort of knew about Jing. Jing is, the translation for it is essence, and that's what you were talking about maybe earlier, was the concept of essence.
Right, and, you know, we can kind of expand upon that, because I wanted you to talk a bit about the epidemic, actually, of infertility. I see that as a huge problem. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be sure we have a little bit of a discussion on that. And then also, if you want to just add, we can talk about what we call yin deficiencies, that dryness for women, the postmenopausal women, and men, too. We don't want to leave them out. What is your recommendation to support those essences to, you know, help the postmenopausal, the baby boomers, you know, this those of us moving into our 60s and 70s, to really stay young and vital?
Well, once again, it's the women need more yin herbs to stay moist. But you still need some yang herbs to stay active and, you know, so you're not just becoming sitting on your chair all the time. So you actually feel like going out and doing things. So the yin herbs, once again, are herbs like this dendrobium orchid. Like we make a formula that I would recommend. I don't know what everybody else in the world has, but it's called Primal Yin Replenisher. And Primal Yin Replenisher is made with that dendrobium orchid and other herbs that help to maintain the fluid nature of the body. And it's specifically for people either who live in dry environments or who are aging and becoming drier. And it actually just keeps the body moist and replenishes the yin essence that's stored in the kidneys and in the skin and in your eyes and so forth. It's a very profound formula. It really affects wherever the body is dehydrating. And, you know, Primal Yin Replenisher is another one of those formulas that is kind of eternal. And it's an ancient style of formula. And so something like that, every woman could take, say, a combined Primal Yin Replenisher with maybe a formula we make called Hair and Nails. Hair and Nails is also designed to nurture the youthful structures of the body by building yin essence. It's all about this yin essence. If you keep that strong, you will age more slowly. And as you get older, you might want to take more of it. But the truth is that, you know, I've seen plenty of 20-year-olds who are starting to age. And people can age very quickly if you don't take care of yourself, especially if you're smoking. I'm sure all of us wish that all of our friends and people out there don't smoke. But a lot of women smoke. As a matter of fact, men are smoking less, but women are smoking more in the United States. So if any of your listeners are smoking, it's just definitely making you look and become older very quickly, because it's drawing, right? It's got, besides all the carcinogens, it's actually drawing to the body and destroys your blood, and it ruins your skin and ruins your hair, and it just does. So, but those things can be counteracted to some degree, and especially if you stop, by taking yin herbs, Primal Yin Replenisher, the goji berries, once again, that formula, Buplerum and peony that I talked about half an hour ago. Those things reestablish balance. Now, Buplerum and peony is called a regulatory formula, which means that it regulates your cycle so it doesn't go spiking up and down crazily. It makes it very smooth. So that's a very great formula for women to make the menstrual cycle smoother and your emotional cycle smoother. And if it's smoother, you're also not becoming stressed out and draining your jing, so you're going to live longer. I could go a lot more into that, but I think that will suffice the idea.
Okay, and you know, we're coming to the end, Ron. So first of all, I want people to know that they can go to the website dragonherbs.com to learn more about your tonic formulas, to order tonic formulas. They can, I think, organize even consultations. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have many, at least a dozen, professional herbalists. These are licensed acupuncturists, so they've trained in Chinese medicine all the way through, but then they're dedicating their lives to tonic herbalism, and we do free consultations. It's kind of a mission that we are performing. The consultations are free with real master herbalists, and That's a free call, and you don't have to buy. You can just get the consultation. We, of course, hope that you get on a program. And so that's a service that we provide, I think, to this
universe. That is so remarkable. What you're doing is just absolutely inspirational, changing lives, saving lives, extending lives. Ron, it's just been such a pleasure. We've come to the end of the show, believe it or not.
It goes so fast.
I know, it goes so fast. We'll have to have you back, and we'll talk more. So thank you again for being with us.
Thank you,
Ron,
for having me, and you're fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay.
Well, hope you enjoyed that. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You've been listening to What Women Must Know with today's guest, Ron T. Garden, author of 30 Tips for Living a Long and Healthy Life. Visit him at dragonherbs.com. Come visit me May 11th in New York City at the Natural Gourmet School. And remember to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.